and this is a message. Well, I use this passage. It's always different, but it's this passage from Psalm chapter 90, and it talks about, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, and from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back to dust, and you say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by. Or as a watch in the night, you have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep, and in the mountain, in the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew, and in the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers, for we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities, before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years with a sigh, and as the days of our life they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor or sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So, teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. It's the recognition that our God is eternal, and that we are temporary, and that our days here on this earth are numbered, and that we need to live in light of that. And so, you know, I start numbering my days. Today is number 22,201 for me, or 532,824 hours, 31,969,440 minutes. And you can do this real easy on the computer now. First time I did this, I had to figure it out manually. Now the computer is easy. And the scripture talks about, or that God gives us 70 years. If he gives us 70 years, I have 3,368 days left. If he gives me to 80, 7,020 days. Sounds like a lot, but last Christmas was just last week, it seems, right? These days are, and these years are just going by. And when you're young, it may not seem that they're going by quickly, but, you know, all of a sudden, my babies are married with babies. And for some of you, the babies have babies. And it just goes by. And we can think we have all this time, but we recognize that time is going quickly, and really we have no guarantees for tomorrow. Heart attack, car accident, any kind of an accident, and we're in eternity. And what will we do when we stand before our God? And so teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. That's essentially what we're wanting to look at. Our days are predetermined by God. Psalm 139 says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God is the ultimate begin with the end in mind. And he works in our lives from the end to the beginning, so that he's giving us today what we are going to need for tomorrow, because he knows what tomorrow will hold. And so we're needing to learn to trust him. And so we need to learn to number our days. Now, it's interesting how different translations translate this verse. The New American Standard says, so teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. That's an interesting translation, because it's talking about how will we respond to standing in the presence of God. And when we stand in the presence of God, what are we bringing to God? That's one way of looking at it. The King James says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The NIV says, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The Holman Christian Standard says, teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. And the New Century Version says, teach us how short our lives really are so that we may be wise. Each of them have like a different way of looking at this passage. And they're all good. And they all apply in different ways. I think I like the New Century Version at the bottom. Teach us how short our lives really are so that we may be wise. If we really comprehend how limited our time is and how fast things are going, then surely we'll be wanting to be good stewards of those days and those time and that time. And so that's just, they're all interesting translations, and they help us to look at things in a different way. What they're all saying, essentially, is that how you spend your days matters to God. How you spend your time. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 13 says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. The day of the Lord, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. In other words, and we've talked about this before, it's like when you're building your life, you're building a house, you're building your mansion for eternity. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Each of us has that foundation. But Paul is saying, how do you choose to build on that foundation? The works that are done through the prompting of the Spirit and letting Jesus live his life out through us are the works of gold, silver, and precious stones. The works that I do out of my flesh are the wood, hay, and stubble. So I build my house, and I've kind of got this patchwork house of gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, hay, and stubble. God then puts this house on a nice conveyor belt, and it goes through the blast furnace of his judgment, and what comes out the other side? Hopefully it's more than the foundation. And maybe there's be chunks of big holes in some of my walls where that wood, hay, and stubble was. But the things that I've done through the Spirit of God are the gold, silver, and precious stones, and those are the things that will survive, and those are the things that essentially become our reward. You see what I mean? What we do matters. Who we become matters. We must learn to recognize our time is limited for becoming the people God wants us to be. We will always do what we really believe. We can say we believe something, and we can academically believe something, but if we don't do that, if we don't live that, we don't really believe it. You will always do what you really believe. You always act on your beliefs. So that's where they say talk is cheap. And James says, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Don't worry about the stuff. Seek God's kingdom, and the Father will take care of the stuff. Philip's translation? It's the other Philip's translation. So, it's not all about us. Who you become in Christ in this life will determine your reward for eternity. This life is the dress rehearsal. No, it's really the audition for the real thing. And what we do in this life determines what happens in the life to come. It matters. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom, a person that's been wise in how we've lived our lives. In Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the talents. And let me see if we can get technology to work here. All right. So in Matthew chapter 25, he talks about a man going away and how he gave, he entrusted his wealth to his servants. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, and each went, and here's the key phrase, according to his ability. Each according to his ability. In other words, God entrusted more to one person. The one who had more ability, he gave 5 bags. To the one who had less ability, he gave 2 bags. And to the one he was worried about, he gave 1 bag. He goes away, and he comes back, and he says, after a long time, the master came back, and he returned and settled his accounts with him. And the man who had received 5 bags brought the other five. And he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags. Here I've gained 5 more. And listen to what the master says. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. All right? That's his commendation. The man with 2 bags also came to the master, and he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags, and I have gained 2 more. And the master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. In other words, both received exactly the same reward. They were entrusted according to their ability, and they were rewarded according to their ability. In other words, some of you 5 and 10 talent people out there are going to be held accountable for all the abilities that God has given you. And then there's the recognition that some of us are not as talented as other people. God grades on the curve. And those who make the effort and return and do the best they can with the toolbox they've got, God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. But to the guy who's got the full toolbox, and he sits around and plays video games or chews on bonbons and comes back with only a half effort, he's not going to get that same reward. So in other words, we've all seen those 10 talented people, you know, the ones that have more talent in their little finger than most of us have in our entire body, and we go, wow, those people are so talented. Guess what? God will hold them accountable for what they've got. And if you don't have it, God won't hold you accountable for what you can't do. What does that mean? That a person who is mentally challenged could receive a greater reward and more responsibility in heaven, because what's going to happen to that challenged brain here? If it's challenged here, when it gets into heaven, when it gets into eternity, that's fixed. He will be given, she will be given compensation and responsibility according to the faithfulness that they showed in this life. We might have looked at them and said, oh, they're only a half-talent person. But you know what? They used that whole talent, half-talent for Jesus. When they get into heaven, when they get into eternity, they're going to be put in charge of those 5 cities just like that 5-talent person. That's the good news and the bad news, right? God... servants rewarded according to faithful effort, not ability. And the last guy?
Well, I was afraid of what you might say, so I just took it and buried it in the ground.
Yeah. That's the person who's not following Jesus, because he's tossed out. And God gives ability to people. And when they don't use it for him, then they're not going to make it in eternity. Luke chapter 19 is the parable of the minas. And this one, it's interesting, because the man was going away, and so he called his servants, and he gave them 10 minas. He called 10 of his servants, and he gave them 10 minas. In other words, he gave to each one one. But we only hear the report of three. There's 10 men or 10 servants who each get one mina each. And he says, put this money to work until I come back. And so he returns. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, good and faithful servant. His master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. Sounds like a very, it's very interesting how Jesus is using the same commendation, adapting it a little bit to his story. Now in this parable, essentially, each have the same ability, shall we say. 10 servants, each getting one mina. Now what Jesus is talking about is people of equal ability. What happens to people of equal ability but have different outcomes? So the one comes and he has, your one mina has earned 10 more. He says, very good, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, your mina has earned 5 more. And the master answered, take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, here's your mina. I've kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you were a hard man, and you take what you did not put in, and you reap what you did not sow. And the master said, I will judge you by your words. And says, why didn't you even put my money in a bank on deposit so that when I came back, at least I could have collected a little interest with it? And that's what it says here. That's not Phil's paraphrase. And they said, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10. So now this is 10 people of equal ability, but different outcomes. And they're rewarded according to their faithfulness, according to the outcome. Equal ability. So Jesus equipped us for ministry and gave us a responsibility to work it till he comes back. Equal ability, but unequal effort equals unequal reward. Do not think that we are all going to stand in front of the presence of God and everybody's going to be rewarded equally. It's not going to happen. I think that's part of the tears that there will be in the presence of God, and that he's going to wipe them away, and that we're going to be content with our half-built mansion, because that's all we'll have. And some will only have a foundation. We will always act on what we really believe. Actions reveal values. When Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, we say that, but do we do that? Ezekiel 33 says, 32, indeed, to them you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. The Apostle Paul in Timothy talks about tickling ears. You know, saying the nice things that simply tickle ears. Tickled ears, but unchanged hearts. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Hears the words and puts them into practice. And he says in verse 26, then, he says, if you go over to that one, he says, The man who hears the word but does not put them into practice is like the man who builds his house on the sand. There will be a collapse. Matthew 21:28-32, the parable of the two sons. The father comes and says, "Sons, I need you to go to work in the field today." Doug comes to his daughters and says, "I need you to go to work in the field today." And one says, "I'll go," and then goes to go riding her horse. The second one says, "I'm not going to go," and then thinks, "I've been out there for a while, I should go." And she goes. And Jesus says, "Who did the will of the Father?" The one who went. The one who actually does what the Father asks. James 1:22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says." James 2:18, "But if someone will say, 'I have faith,' you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. This is not salvation by works, but works by salvation." The result of salvation are the works. So, we can talk about all this. And as we look back over this past year, are we more like Jesus now than we were a year ago? That's the question. And that's really, are we just talking or are we doing? And it's not just about doing, it's about being. And that's really what I should have put there. Are you talking or are you being? Are you being a follower of Jesus? Because who you are determines what you will do. It's about letting Jesus live his life out through us. And over the next couple of weeks here, we're going to start to look more at the Sermon on the Mount and those very specific things that talk about what it means to be letting Jesus love people through us. It's about being. What do you need to change this year that held you back this year? Faith comes by hearing or reading the Word of God. Reading flows to knowledge, which flows to faith, which flows to joy, which flows to obedience, you know? Obedience to do it or to stop it. Obedience to repent, confess, to reconcile. Obedience to love, to listen, to nurture. What do you need to work at in this coming year? What is it that God is calling you to become and to do? Are you numbering your days, recognizing that they're short? The more we look around and we see the things that are happening in this world, I really start to wonder. And I know people have been saying that for a long time. But for me, when I look at it, I go, it's amazing. All that's going on around the world, all the chaos, all the economic migrants that are happening. People trying to get across into England now, and trying to get into the States, and trying to get into Canada, and all the problem in South America with migrants, and are we ready? You know what? Even if it isn't this year, it's still part of that process, right? Of numbering our days. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Is that your passion? Your desire? That when you stand before God, He's able to look at you and say, "Thank you for that heart of wisdom. That you were wise in how you lived." And being wise means being wise the way Jesus wants us to live. Let's pray. Father, you are gracious. and you invite us into a relationship with the Father that is the same, that is the same that the Son had with the Father. Amazing. That we would be one with you as you are with the Father. That's what you call us to. That we would allow you to so work in our lives that we would die to self and we would live to you, that you would live your life out through us, that we would learn how to love the way you would have us love one another. Father, I thank you for each one who's here. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would encourage them in their walk. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be revealing things to them that are holding them back from their walk with you. Lord, you're able to set us free from our past. And for those that are struggling with that, Lord, I pray that you would grant them your grace. For those who need healing in some area of their lives, we pray, O Father, for your healing touch in their bodies, in their minds, in their souls. Thank you, O Father. Thank you for the love of your Son Jesus to us. And may we learn to love others as you love us. We pray.